AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
Previously on No Reserves Radio.
Oh my God, Angelo, come on. have some self-respect. The Eagles can't hurt you if you don't constantly pander to them.
Here's the biggest indictment of Dame that I can say. Dame has been so off this year that Ren went on live air and said Jalen Brunson deserved an all-star start over him.
You are now Angelo DiDeLulo.
Do you think it is possible that the management of the Memphis Grizzlies are just buying into the reckless youth movement and they got rid of the one person in the locker room that probably was telling Ja to knock it off?
Because he's taken advantage of me multiple times when I was younger. That sounded bad. Holy shit.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think you're correct in that assessment.
What's going on, guys? Welcome back to No Reserves Radio. I'm your host, Ren. With me, as always, Angelo. All that other stuff about Austin, it's a waste of time at this point.
I just figured, we get Austin spirit in there. In fact, here's some more Austin spirit. Wait. Owen, whatever, huh, buddy? Owen, whatever. That's what he said. This is the man who is going to get on here probably sometime in 2025 and say that I attacked his picks. No, Austin, I did not attack your picks, you little measly mouth motherfucker. I just proved you wrong.
For those wondering, Austin is.
So you know what? Fuck you.
So for those wondering, Austin is not here. That's Angelo's soundboard. He is having an argument with someone that's not here. And if you know Angelo, that is about as on brand as the fact that Austin's not here.
Yeah, pretty much.
Where to start today? Shockingly, we're still in the playoffs. We will be in the playoffs for another month and a half. So that's going to be most of what we talk about. Had a few eliminations, so I guess we'll start there. Boston Celtics beat your Miami Heat.
Well, it was Miami Heat without the Hymenine. If Jimmy was there, Heat win that one.
They
easy.
Lost by 40.
Easy. Heat win easy.
They literally lost by 40, my guy.
Heat win easy.
Interesting. It was very... It was a very physical series, especially towards the end. You could tell the Heat were getting a little bit frustrated. Al Horford, who's got a problem with Al Horford? Really? Bam just ran straight through him, and I think it was game five. No, it was game four. Game four, Bam just runs Horford over on a clean screen. He didn't get called for it, so I guess technically it was legal, or the ref just didn't care. But that kind of set, that was basically how the entire series was. There is a report out that, I actually have to pull up the number because it's ridiculous. Jimmy Butler. It actually took me a lot of effort to type that. Where is it? So Jimmy Butler is a free agent this upcoming offseason, or he has an option, one of the two. He is seeking an extension from the Miami Heat, which good for the Miami Heat. He wants to come back, right? Do you want to know how much this man wants?
Max.
113 over 2 years.
He's probably worth more.
What?
Yeah, you heard me.
You do realize he's going to be like 36 this year, right?
It doesn't matter. Apparently Jimmy doesn't age.
He just missed the playoffs with an injury.
He doesn't age.
So you're comfortable paying that as the Miami Heat?
In a heartbeat.
You're not looking to build around Bam.
No hesitations.
You're fully committing to this bit of... Okay. I don't even know how to discuss it, because I thought, like, that's a non-starter from just about any rational human. That's more than LeBron James has ever gotten in a single year, my guy. You're aware of that, right? So you're saying Jimmy Butler at 36 is worth more than prime LeBron James. That's what you're saying. I want to be clear.
The salary caps are different.
No.
Yes, they are. Like,
no,
there's much more money available now than
percentage wise. This is higher than LeBron.
LeBron never really took a max deal, though. That's the thing.
Yes, he did. I'm asking you to confirm. Yeah. You're saying that Jimmy Butler, old Jimmy Butler, is worth more than prime LeBron James.
Worth the money.
Which is more than prime LeBron James. So you are going on record as saying old Jimmy Butler is worth more than prime LeBron James.
No, I'm saying Jimmy Butler is worth every bit of that money to that team.
Which is more than... Aunt Angela. You're saying the same thing, my guy.
No, I'm not.
How are you not?
Is that not a max deal? Is what Jimmy Butler is asking not a max deal?
It would be a maximum extension, sure.
Yeah. Is Jimmy Butler not worth a maximum extension?
At this
point,
probably
not. For only 2 years?
At this point, probably not.
That's unbelievable.
He just missed the playoffs. He's coming off a pretty substantial injury. He's not getting any younger. If I'm the Miami Heat, I'm looking at a potential sign and trade if someone wants to pay that money for him. But I'm not, like, I'm built, like, from this playoff loss, it's pretty evident having an old team doesn't, like, and that'll be a running theme throughout this entire episode as we talk about the eliminations. These old teams, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. So why would you be like, you know what, we're going to run it back. Build around Bam. Bam is the future of this franchise.
So you're just going to let him go for nothing?
I just said sign and trade, my guy. Find a team willing to pay that. They can have him. But I don't think you double down on what hasn't worked for you, right? Like, we can say, okay, they made the finals run. They got absolutely shellacked, but they made the finals run during the bubble. Cool. Hasn't really amounted to anything besides that. Right or wrong? Not during the bubble. During the... Like, when... Okay, so let me... Caleb Martin, Gabe Vincent carried them to a finals. That's what happened. That's not to invalidate the contributions of Jimmy Butler, Bam Adebayo, Tyler Hero barely played, but
you could have fooled me.
It's to say that they as a team got hot at the right time. They went on a run. Basketball is a game of runs. Lightning doesn't strike twice in the same place, and as we saw, they just got beat by 40 points in an elimination game. I just don't know how you can sit here and say, all right, this hasn't worked yet, but we're going to run it back. Like, that's what you're saying. Jimmy is at the age when most players...
They made the NBA Finals last year.
Oh my God.
They added Hakeem... I can't say his name.
Hameakas.
Hamihakas. Yeah, they had Hamihakas. Tyler Hero had his first. They still got Bam. Why not? It's not like it's a 2-year deal, dude.
Right. But if Caleb Martin doesn't drop 30 in an elimination game, they don't make it past, what was it, the second round? When you're relying on your bench depth to get you there, I don't know. And again, Jimmy is now old. If I'm the Miami Heat or if I'm a team and I'm looking at these rosters, right? I see that the young teams are the teams that are making noise, right? It's a faster pace of play. There's more energy. I'm not just running it back because last year we got hot at the right time and I'm going to stick to that and run it back again when it didn't work, right? And I'm not going to pay you $113 million. What's he going to be, like 38 when that ends? No. Unless you are saying, like, there are very few players that are worth that money, right? And, like, I don't even think Kobe would have been worth that money at the end of his career. LeBron James is about it. Like, maybe not even Dirk. Jesus. Very few players in the history of the game have been worth that kind of money at the end of their career, and Jimmy Butler is not one of them.
Hard to disagree.
You think Jimmy Butler is in that echelon of all time?
I think he's worth the money, yes.
Very much agree to disagree. So that kind of leads me into it, because we're going to kind of touch base on all the teams that got eliminated here. And I'm going to ask that question, which I guess I already have your answer, which is just run it back, which is from the Heat standpoint, like, what do you do going into this offseason? Obviously, Spoelstra's job is safe. He's one of the best coaches in the league. I don't see a situation in which Bam Adebayo is traded. I think he is the future of this team. Tyler Hero is interesting because I don't necessarily like the idea of trading him. It just kind of depends on what's available. Jimmy Butler for that kind of money, me personally, no. It's a hard no. I'm not doing it. I'd look at a sign-and-trade, but that kind of money tied up to one player that just missed the postseason because of injury, you don't know how much he's going to come back as a player. That's the terrible thing about injuries during contract negotiations time is, like, let's say you have a lower body injury and you were worth that money and then you negotiate it and then you get out on the floor next season and suddenly you've lost a step, right? You don't go right as quick as you used to. You don't go left as quick as you used to. There's too much risk on the table for a team that realistically with Bam are only a couple pieces away from being, if not a title contender, a contender in the East. So why are you tying that money up into someone that's injury prone?
What's your replacement option?
It's tough. There's really not a lot of options on the free agent market, but
okay then.
But Bam Adebayo is only 26 years old. He's just now entering his prime. Your window is wide open. If you don't replace him on the free agent market, you maybe get a piece back in a trade, a struggle. Like, there's plenty of players that are on teams that the fit just isn't there. And maybe those players are moved in a deal for Jimmy Butler because that team might be closer to competing and Jimmy goes in to be a 1A, 1B, maybe a number 2 scoring option. You never know. I'm just saying, I don't think run it back is the smartest idea. Is that what they're likely to do? Probably. I'm just saying, I don't think it's the smartest idea. Likely, sure, absolutely, but... anything else on the Heat?
Nah. Since it was just the disappointing. Disappointing way to end the season, for sure.
I mean, Jimmy, it was kind of expected. It's the Celtics, and you're missing your best player.
They beat the Celtics last year. But yes, they're missing the best player, yeah. That's the crutch of it.
I'm just going to work my way across the board. So Bucks lost to the Pacers last night by 22, which was an elimination game. Kind of expected. Just because for whatever reason, the Pacers match up really well against the Bucks when the Bucks are healthy. Bucks were not healthy. I think that it was really interesting to see the Pacers have a really not, I don't want to say a bad game, but a poor game from their top three players being Tyrese Haliburton.
I think I disagree with that. I do not think that you guys would have matched up well with the Bucks if they were healthy in a playoff series. My dude, it took you six games to get rid of a hobbled Bucks team. You think Giannis being there and Dame being healthy would have been just no.
No.
I think you guys would have been rolled.
I don't think we'd be rolled.
I think we would have easily been rolled.
Mm-mm. No, because the Pacers are one of those teams that match up really well against the Bucks. It's
You say that, but they lost to Bobby Portis, Brooke Lopez, and Chris Middleton in the game.
So I'm not one to be...
Let's not forget, Hallie took a little while to get warmed up. He had one, maybe, if I'm not mistaken, two of the first three games were bad. Pascal Siakam was really carrying you the first three games of that series. Yeah, no, if the Bucks are healthy, I think you guys get rolled. I think it's like a five-game series.
I don't think it gets rolled just because, like I said, there's too many ways to attack. Interestingly, I think Damian Lillard being on the floor hurt the Bucks more than it helped them. They were like negative 38 in the series when he was on
really
the floor.
Hobbled.
Well, just in general, like when you look at his on-off ratings, it's insane because Patrick Beverley, Malik Beasley is a much scarier defensive backcourt than Damian Lillard, who sometimes looks like he's playing 2K and his controller came unplugged. He's still Dame. Like, he's still going to get you points, but defensively the team takes a hit when he's on the floor, and that's very noticeable, and the Pacers exploit that because they get down the court really fast, even if you score a bucket. So I don't think it's a roll. I still think that if the Bucks are fully healthy, there's a solid chance the Bucks win the series. I think it's greater likelihood that they do than the Pacers win it, but I don't think it's as crazy as you think it is, just because I think this Pacers team does match up really, really well against the Bucks in the current rosters. And I think it would go six or seven games, and whoever wins it. I don't think these two teams are as far apart as it seems. Because besides...
Oh, I don't think talent-wise they're far apart. I think playoff experience-wise they're very far apart.
Oh, playoff, and you saw, absolutely, for sure.
You saw that in a lot of spurts in these... The reason this it took you guys six games to win this series is because of that experience. That's why I'm saying.
Well,
I think if Giannis is there, and I think if Dame isn't running on one leg, I think it's more likely you get rolled than you think.
No, I will, like, I'm not a big fan of conspiracy theories, but I will say Scott Foster did ref game five, and his nickname is literally the extender. And I think that,
I mean, that's fair, but none of your guys broke 20, like none of your big three broke 20.
Yeah, no, but they didn't in the elimination game either. Like when the Bucks
But you had people like TJ fucking McConnell dropping 20. That's who broke 20, not your actual stars. Yeah,
TJ McConnell and Obi Toppin.
Yeah.
And that's something I think that does benefit this team in these playoffs. Like, you look at the Knicks top six blows the Pacers out of the water, right?
Yeah, probably.
But the Pacers can go deep into that bench, and there's quality
there.
Is that
who you guys are getting in the next round? Is the Knicks?
Yes, it's Knicks in the next round. Which
really? Why isn't it Celtics?
Hold on. I maybe I'm wrong.
You're the lowest seed, my dude. You're the sixth seed. You're the lowest seed left.
We were the first low seed to win. No, it's Pacers Knicks.
That doesn't make sense. Isn't it the lowest?
It doesn't, but it's...
So the winner of the Cavs Magic Series is going on to Boston?
Yep.
Wow.
Holy shit, dude.
So it makes sense.
It doesn't.
No, it does.
It doesn't. The lowest seed is supposed to play the highest seed.
In the opening round, yes. Go, pull up the playoff bracket. It'll make more sense. Because they play, if the Cavs win, the Cavs are the lowest in the top four. So they play the Celtics. In the first round is when you play the lowest seed, but you play the lowest high seed available in the second round, if that makes sense.
Oh, it works completely differently in the NFL. In the NFL, the highest seed always plays the lowest seed, no matter what the bracket says. Huh, that's crazy.
What was I saying? So I think that the Pacers' depth is really what won them the series against the Bucks, as we saw with Obi Toppin and TJ McConnell having god-tier games. Chris Middleton really did surprise me. I think that there were a lot of people, myself included, that kind of considered him, you know, over the hill,
washed.
Yeah. And I think that regular season performance, you could argue that, but then elevating in a postseason series where you're missing your top players and you really take the reins as the leader of this team, and the mid-range shots he was hitting, it mind-blowing how efficient he was on the least efficient shot in basketball.
I'm looking at this bracket and I see maybe two matchups I'm debating.
What's that?
The next round.
Which ones?
Both the East.
So Pacers, Knicks, and Celtics, Cavs probably.
Yeah. I don't think I can bet against the Cavs, even if I think they're going to lose. I don't think I can bet against the Cavs.
Yeah, no, you can't. You can't. And realistically, the Knicks are going to beat the Pacers, but I'm picking the Pacers. Have to.
But am I just crazy? But I've saw on NBA Reddit that the people are proclaiming this Nuggets Timberwolves matchup is basically to decide who makes it to the finals. I don't think the Timberwolves belong in the conversation. Am I crazy for that?
I think so.
I think they're getting rolled.
Well, we'll talk about them once we get over there. But I do think that's it's an interesting take, and I'll tell you why when we're discussing it.
Okay.
But I want to go to this. I want to talk about the end of the Pacers Bucks game. Did you see the whole drama around Patrick Beverley?
I did not, but Patrick Beverley is a content machine, so give me.
Patrick Beverley is banned from ESPN. He will never be allowed on ESPN, First Take or anything like that ever again.
Why is that?
Because in a post-game interview with, I forget her name, Melinda Adams, who's a veteran ESPN producer, was attempting to conduct a routine post-game interview with Patrick Beverley after the Bucks season-ending loss to the Pacers. Beverley asked if she was subscribed to his podcast and refused to talk to her after she said no. So after this, ESPN came out. They called it disgusting. He's now banned for life from ever appearing on any ESPN content again. There's a few reporters who have posted things like subscribe to a jump shot. But then the reason why she was trying to do an interview is at the end of the game, there's a minute left and there was a timeout for whatever reason. And the Bucks are down 20. The game's over, right? And the Bucks starters have been pulled. you know, Doc waved the white flag. And while they're in their tuddle talking, there's a fan on the sidelines. And in the video, you can see them, you know, chirping at Beverly. And Beverly throws the ball at them, misses, hits another fan in the head with the ball. He, like, gestures for the fan to throw the ball back to him. They throw it back to him, and he throws it like a freaking four-seam fastball right back at the guy. What we learned, because, you know, everyone was kind of withholding judgment, like, you know, I hate to say it, being from Indiana, white guy in the crowd chirping at a player, player gets agitated and throws something at them, you know, you're expecting the worst for what this fan was saying, right?
Yeah, for sure.
All the fan was saying was, as they were counting down, you know, to do their whole team, yeah, go Bucks or whatever, the fan counted down 3, 2, 1, Cancun. Beverly took an insult there, which is weird because, you know, if you're going to be a trash talker, you got to be able to take it. And he couldn't. And Beverly, again, like Jimmy Butler, he's old. I question if he will get another shot in the NBA.
He doesn't. No, he shouldn't. That's just my personal opinion. He shouldn't. And quite honestly, like, I think that's some... So this needs to be a discussion in the NBA, like, when they're doing their rules and shit, because the podcasts have kind of become ridiculous, not because they're not entertaining, not because it's a way for NBA players to get revenue post-retirement, but to base your interview on a subscriber count is, like, another level.
Absolutely.
It's ridiculous. Like, it's beyond ridiculous. So I think rules or regulations... So thank you, Pat Bev, because now the NBA can discuss rules or regulations around podcasts for current players.
Right, because, like, shows. Like, retired players, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
That's entertaining. But, like, current players, I think I don't know, because we're in such... We're in the era of, like, player agency where they kind of have taken control of their careers, which is great. But it has led to some interesting discussions that need to be had, like that. Like, there's been some pretty insane things said on these podcasts. And
100%, yeah.
These players are employed by the NBA. They're representative of the NBA. It gets, I don't know, it's tough to say, though, like, because they're already under scrutiny every time they're in front of a mic, and I don't want to necessarily take away the player's ability to say what they want to say within, you know, the realm of reality.
Here's the thing. Whatever you want to say on your podcast while you're sitting at home on your couch, great, whatever. When you are in an NBA arena... participating in an NBA exhibition game or a playoff game or regular season game or whatever, you are representing the NBA. So whatever you do on the side shouldn't come into that. Right or wrong?
No, you're absolutely right. I just, it is a slippery slope that I think the discussion needs to be had. I don't necessarily agree that there should be regulation about it. I just think that the NBA needs to get ahead of this before it starts to get out of control.
I'm not going to lie. I think there should be a fine or punishment for Pat Bev. 100%.
Oh, he should be suspended for sure. He threw a ball at a fan twice and hit one of them in the head.
Yep.
Any interaction. Like, there was a scene, like, in the game where Bobby Portis got an and one, and him and a fan got into, like, they were just verbally going back and forth for a minute, and they were both laughing, right? Like, that's fine. The moment you start throwing something at a fan, or if a fan throws something at a player, because if...
Ejected! If a fan throws something at a player, he's ejected from the arena.
And probably banned for life.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what I'm saying. Like, I feel like if David Stern were still the commissioner, Patrick Beverly would never play a game again. Especially not after the Palace. that being said, I think it'll probably be something like a 15-game suspension. And then he'll get picked up in January by some team desperate to make a playoff push that needs a backup point guard. Should it be more? Yeah, absolutely. Because again, if the fan does that, if the fan instigates that, they're gone. Now, granted, he probably would have been ejected if there was more than 30 seconds left in the game, but so the Bucks are out.
Yep.
You now control the Milwaukee Bucks. What is on your docket going into this offseason? Do you try to get younger? Do you try to get more versatile? Because a lot of the problem with this team is it wasn't really equipped to handle high pace, right? Brook Lopez played amazingly well throughout the first three
better than you mocked him to play in the start of the
He played about like I thought he was going to. He did really well until the end of the game, and at the end of the game he was virtually unplayable because he was gassed. I think that in that last game, because Miles Turner got into foul trouble a little early and the Pacers kind of struggled to get someone out there, Isaiah Jackson, he's a little undersized and he tries to go for a block every time the ball's in the air, and he ends up getting into foul trouble himself. But the moment Turner was out, it was free game for Brook Lopez, and the Pacers, for whatever reason, weren't dropping into double team. Obi Toppin at one point was guarding him, and it was embarrassing to watch, to say the least. I think that I would have done a better job. No, probably not, but I can pretend I would.
I'm skinny white bitch. Get out of the fuck out of here, dude.
I just don't think the Pacers really game planned for Brook Lopez. I think they were every day going into it with the mindset, Dame and Giannis are coming back, Dame and Giannis are coming back, Dame and Giannis were coming back. And it just, Brook Lopez really didn't find his way into the game plan because they never really adjusted to him. Because he was kind of just running through people, but that's what he's a big, strong boy. Like, that's what he's going to do. And they never sent a double team or whatever. Like, Dame got double teamed half the time when he crossed the hash marks. Like, there was a plan for dealing with Dame. There was a plan for dealing with Giannis. There was a plan for dealing with Middleton. There never was a plan for Lopez. But towards the end of the games, you could tell, like, with a few exceptions, Beverly has a high motor, so he was still going.
Yeah.
Malik Beasley, obviously. Jackson Green, Bobby Portis, like, they were still in it, but a lot of this Bucks team was a very obvious gassed. So going into the offseason, you feel like they have to either get younger or just get more versatile, especially on the wings.
Yeah, I actually... I think that if there was a time to discuss moving Giannis to center and making this more of a... I want to call it a hybrid defense because I'm not sure what the proper term is. But, like, basically having Dame, a bunch of wings, and Giannis. This would be the time to try that.
So you're just full send on, like, locking up the core to this incredibly expensive, fragile, and that's ESPN's words, not mine. core.
No, not the... Well, if you call Dame and Giannis the core, yes.
I think Dame, Giannis, and Middleton are the core. I think Bobby Portis, Brook Lopez are key pieces. And then, like, Jackson and Green, like, you have to keep them. Like, those are your young players. I think...
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I thought they were playing really well. I'm not Doc Rivers, but if I was Doc Rivers, I would have given them a lot more playing time because Bobby Portis was making some boneheaded decisions towards the end of the game. Patrick Beverley was making some boneheaded decisions. Like, I would have just, like, especially if you're aware you have a low chance of coming back. It's 3-1, right? Get your young guys some reps in the playoffs. but I'm not Doc Rivers, you know. I'm not a coach that's been bounced around from team to team to team to team that's writing a single conference finals appearance as a coaching milestone 15 years later. But hey, what do I know?
Do you know indeed, Ren? What do you know indeed?
But they're kind of stuck because they've got all that money tied up into Giannis and Dame. For better or worse, this is... they're not going to run it back next season. There will be changes. I just don't know what those changes will be. Doc Rivers will be the coach because they're not going to pay four coaches in a calendar year. That's not going to happen.
Yeah,
it's just not going to happen. So that's the only thing I know for sure. I know Giannis will be there. I know Dame will be there. I'm hoping Middleton will be there. And I know Doc Rivers will be there. Everyone else, it's up in the air. I think that Bobby Portis is a good piece to have. I think that you can't have Bobby Portis and Patrick Beverley. I think they are too similar of players personality-wise, and it gets you in trouble. Knicks. 76ers got sent home.
Yes, they did.
Tyrese Maxey, though.
Yes.
Probably it's up there with Jamal Murray for playoff performances of recent memory. Like, just the big shots. Big shot, big shot, big shot, big shot. He did not care that it was the playoffs. He did not care that it was an elimination game. I did predict the other night Maxey going for 50, and then he ended up with like 46, and he hit that big buzzer beater. Unfortunately, they weren't able to pull it out in game six. They did only lose by three. So I think this final game was a lot closer than we, like, just based on this series, I think that it was a lot closer than we thought it was going to be, just because of Embiid's injuries. Like, he was putting braces on his knees, like, and the fact that I'm pretty sure the Knicks only played like five people the entire game. Seventy-sixers, what are you doing? Is this the end of the process?
You mean Embiid and... So I think it has to be, dude.
Do you think that's a decision from the 76ers front office, or is it from Joel himself? Or is it a mutual...
It might be mutual, it might be from Joel, but regardless, I think it's time, dude. Like,
I think it's been time for a
while. The dude has to drop 50 to win a playoff game.
Sometimes it doesn't even work.
Like, I don't know. I just know that this process went very wrong very long ago, and now it's just, you know, dragging itself, not even to a finish line, but to a conclusion.
I mean, when you actually look at the 76ers roster, The fact that this was a playoff team kind of speaks volumes to Tyrese Maxey and Joel Embiid being as good as they are. Because when your third best player it would be Tobias Harris, I guess, but man just had 0 points in an elimination game, so I'm not saying that. So Kelly Oubre, Buddy Hield, 90-year-old Kyle Lowry. Like, there's changes on this roster. I don't know if I start with Joel Embiid. I don't know if I'm comfortable doing that. I get what you're saying, but it's Joel Embiid. Granted, he is over 30 now. He is over 30. He's already injury prone. So maybe you do. Maybe you just build around Tyrese Maxey and... You know, that's not a bad situation to be in.
I hate to say it, break it to you, buddy, but that Miami roster that was an 8 seed is probably better than that 76.
Oh, I agree. I think fully healthy, the Heat are a better roster.
So, like, oh, man. But, yeah, I'm curious to see who Embiid would go to or who he would want to play for, because I think the obvious like first choice is someone like Luka or LeBron, even in LeBron's advanced
crazy
age,
thought.
LeBron with a center, you know, seems to work good. What?
So hold on before I. What is Joel's contract like?
You think the Lakers add? The Lakers don't have the pieces to add him.
No, no, no. I'm not thinking Lakers. 5 years, 180. Hold on, I'm pulling it up. Jesus Christ, the man's getting paid $55 million next year. Hold on. Because I have a crazy idea. But I need to see how much cap space this team has. I mean, I could. It would be really hard, but you could do it.
Really, it would be.
It would be really hard to pull off, but I was thinking the Memphis Grizzlies.
I would not want to be on the Memphis Grizzlies if I was Joel Embiid, even with Justin Jefferson,
Jaren Jackson.
Yeah, or just yeah, Darren. I'm having a football
wrong
mode.
Sport. Wrong sport.
Jaren Jackson. But
I don't know. That would be intriguing for me if I was Joel. But again, fantasy world, because you have to think of a team that doesn't have necessarily an elite center, but has the pieces needed, like. Crazy thought, Cavaliers. Donovan Mitchell for Joel Embiid. You would have to do some other moving pieces to make it work for both sides, but you throw Joel on that team with Darius Garland, Evan Mobley, Isaac Okoro. It falls apart pretty quickly when you think about it. But
how about to say, you don't think it would be more along the lines of Jared Allen and Isaac Okoro and then other pieces for... Or draft picks mostly for Embiid.
Contracts. You've got to make contracts work.
Oh, that's true too.
And yeah, no. As much as I would love to just turn salary cap off, you can't. Yeah. And I'm guessing, like, I don't have, like, I'll pull it up, but I don't think the Cavs. I don't think Jared Allen and Isaac Okoro makes up $55 million. Cavs contracts. Let's look at their payroll. Actually, Jared Allen's getting paid 20 mils. Karis LeVert's getting paid 16 million. Max Strus, 15 million. I mean, you could make it work. Isaac Okoro.
You could probably make it work with LeVert, Okoro, Allen as a start. And then draft picks to wherever. Yeah. No, that could definitely work.
It could work. I don't know how realistic it is, but it could be. You're paying Georges Niang 8.5 million.
I don't want to talk about that one.
Craig Porter, Sam Merrill. What the fuck are the Cavs doing, bro? God.
Building culture, baby. Building culture.
That's that Ohio culture. Yep. Interestingly, Joel Embiid is the only MVP to never make it to the conference finals during his career.
Yeah.
MVPs to never make the finals. Charles Barkley, James Harden, Russell Westbrook, Allen Iverson, and Karl Malone.
Charles Barkley really never made the finals?
Charles Barkley never made the finals.
Karl Malone definitely made the finals, first off.
To never win the finals.
Win the finals, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
MVPs to never make the finals is Steve Nash and Derrick Rose, but Derrick Rose is completely understandable. Dude's knee exploded. And yep. MVPs to never make conference finals is Joel Embiid.
That's crazy.
Steve Nash never making it to the finals is surprising.
And tragic, quite honestly. Steve Nash was so good, dude.
And he played on some really freaking good teams because he was on...
He did. Suns, Lakers.
That Suns team, the 7 seconds or less offense, the Suns. The Mavericks with Prime Dirk, like... I mean, that was kind of during the Kobe Shaq era, so sure, I guess it makes sense he never did. Fun fact, only 37 players have won MVP. It's like 75 years of the league. Only 37 different players. All right, let's talk about the fun one.
Fun one? There's a fun one?
Fun one. Los Angeles Lakers have been eliminated from playoff contention.
Okay. You want to talk about this? Let's talk about something real quick.
Okay. Let's go.
You ready?
Yeah.
LeBron needs to go. Like, dude. Like, LeBron, I get it. I get it, man. I get it. The money, the kids, LA, all that totally makes sense.
Absolutely.
So, if you ended the games at halftime, how long does the series last and who won?
If you end the games at halftime, hold on. Lakers. I don't want to pull up Lakers Nation. I just want to pull up the Lakers games.
Yeah, sure you do, man.
All right, so let's go to game one. Lakers 33-20. So Lakers won game one if you ended at halftime. Game two, Lakers won if you ended at halftime. Game three, napkin math. The Lakers did not win if you ended at halftime. Game four, the Lakers won if you ended at halftime. So did they win game five if you ended at halftime? They won if you ended at halftime. So they won the series 4-1 if you ended
same,
at halftime.
The same way they lost it. So, but that's my point. You can't have... You can't blow those leads, my dude.
Uh-huh.
Like, I get it's Jokic. I get it's Murray. I get the Nuggets are great.
Uh-huh.
Wasn't one of those games like, or two of those games double digit leads at halftime?
Yeah. But
you can't blow those, dude.
I have a question. Can't. So why does LeBron have to go?
Because it's not worth it, dude.
It's not worth it to who? LeBron or the Lakers?
Yes, LeBron.
Oh, okay. You're saying from LeBron's standpoint. Okay.
Yeah. No. Of course you want LeBron back if you're the Lakers. What the fuck?
But I mean, why were they not holding the lead? So close to getting it.
Because the Nuggets are the Nuggets.
Because the Nuggets are the Nuggets, and
I don't know.
Lakers are old as hell, my guy. You don't pay a player $117 million who's that old. You don't do it. Do not do it. It's a trap.
It's a trap. Don't fall for it.
Do not fall for it. It is a trap. Pay that to young players. Build your depth. Do whatever you need to, but do not pay that money to someone that old. It is a trap. Yeah, I agree with you. I think that LeBron needs to go, and I think that needs to be not just for LeBron's sake, but for the Lakers' sake. I think that going back to like the Brandon Ingram draft and the Lonzo Ball and D'Angelo Russell's first stint with the Lakers, like after Kobe went downhill and this team was on a rebuild trajectory, they lucked into LeBron James because LeBron James chose to go there. And instead of finishing a rebuild, which they were on track to have a really nice rebuild, Julius Randle, there was a lot of really good pieces out there. They kind of became contenders again, and they did win a championship. Cool, great, awesome, cool. But you never really were able to build your roster. You were never able to have a sense of consistency because if you look at this team right now, if you are a Lakers fan and you own a jersey from 2 years ago and it's not LeBron James or Anthony Davis, you wasted your money because everyone on this team is different.
Oh my God.
That's sad. Unless you had a rookie season D'Angelo Russell jersey, in which case you locked out. He came back. But there's been such a high roster turnover. There's not any kind of consistency to the team. And it's kind of hard because even LeBron James at 41, 42, whatever he's going to be at the end of next season, he's going to probably win you enough games to get you into the playoffs, but you're not preparing for a life without LeBron James, which it is coming. It is almost here, as worrying and terrifying as that is. We are close to an NBA without LeBron James, and the Lakers are not prepared for that. They have nothing for the future. So,
correct.
I look to move Anthony Davis as well.
You're on team just blow it up.
Blow it up. And that's the thing.
Do they even have draft picks?
They should. I can't remember them trading any picks, but I am also wondering how they have like Rui and 2025. They own their pick, but the Pelicans have the rights to this pick if they forego 2024. I don't remember if they did. They have all their own picks at least through 2030. Which is as far out as it goes right now. So they do own all their picks.
Mercy.
But LeBron James is going to win you enough games to get you at worst to the end of the lottery. Best case scenario, the end of the lottery, but he's probably getting you into the playoffs. Like that's just LeBron James. Like that's what you get. But LeBron James is not getting you through the playoffs at this point in his career. Not by himself, at least. And they don't really have the assets to flip to get more help. So, yeah, blow it up. Trade everyone. You're the Lakers. Your fans are still going to show up, and they're still going to act like you're the best team in the NBA, even if you are the first overall pick. We've seen it. That's another one of the benefits of being a big market team. You know, I like to like lambast small and medium market teams and like the woes of it. But like the Lakers and Knicks and Celtics, they can suck. And like, remember the Danny Ainge Celtics, how terrible they were?
The start, but yeah.
They got all those draft picks. Yeah, yeah. But like every night the Garden was full. Yeah, it's because you're a big market team. You can take those hits. Charlotte sucks for a couple years, and there's like 5 fans in the arena.
Charlotte's been sucking for more than a couple years, my dude.
Which is weird because they have like a pretty competent roster.
It feels like Charlotte's been sucking since we were born.
Probably. So you're not on board with full blow it up. You're just on board with move on from LeBron James.
I mean, would you accept like blowing it up if you're a Lakers fan?
No, but I don't. Part of the it's part of sports. Every franchise at some point has said, "Okay, we're too good to suck, but we suck too much to win," and you're in purgatory, and you just have to bite the bullet and do it, like. Either throw money at free agents, and there's not really free agents to throw money at, or you've got to build your draft capital, and the best way to do that is your own pick, because you kind of control your own destiny there. You can have your owner cheering on the sidelines as you're losing the final game of the season so that you get a lottery pick. Hello, Mark Cuban. Whereas if you're just trading for picks, like those teams could go out and make another trade at the deadline, and suddenly they're in the playoffs, and now you have a less valuable pick. So I don't like rebuilds, like as a fan of a team, but it's part of it. Like, I'm a fan of the Pittsburgh Penguins. Very soon, they're gonna have to have a rebuild, because Sidney Crosby, Evgeny Malkin, Chris Letang, they're old. Some of them, namely Evgeny Malkin, have lost a step. Sidney Crosby is the LeBron James of hockey and seems to be performing very well into his late 30s, and I'm very happy to see that. But it's going to happen, and you just have to accept it. It's part of sports. So get it over. You just won a championship. Ride that championship for a little bit. Go into the rebuild. Get it over with. At least that's my thoughts on it.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I could see it either way.
All right, so that's it for the eliminations, at least as of now. Tonight we have two potential eliminations, which is the Clippers, Mavericks, Cavs, Magic. Cleveland leads 3-2. Dallas leads 3-2. So,
I think both these are about to hit Game 7.
So you think Magic and Clippers win tonight?
Yeah.
Interesting.
And funny enough, I have more. Like, it's weird. The Clippers are down 3-2, and I have like supreme confidence they're somehow pulling this one out.
So
I don't know why.
I'm gonna share an interesting stat about the Clippers Mavericks.
Okay.
So this is a game to close out the series for the Mavericks, right?
Yes.
Kyrie Irving is on the Mavericks, correct?
He is on the Mavericks.
Kyrie Irving has played 14 closeout games as the favorite or the team leading the series going into the closeout game. Do you know how many of those games he's won?
The ones with LeBron James? So I'm going to get...
No.
He's won all of them?
He's won all of them. On Boston, on the Nets. He's won every single game that's a closeout game.
And I still have confidence that the Clippers are about to extend this to Game 7 somehow.
I need to look and see if Kawhi is out. I think it's a full moon tonight.
This guy.
Cavs Magic is interesting. Because I think the Cavs have all the tools necessary to just end it. But at the same time...
We haven't seen a home team lose in this series yet.
Yeah, that's... And, like, the Cavs are, like, scrapping to get these points. Magic defense is elite, to say the least. That's why I was hoping, like, in some world we would have had Pacers versus Magic, have number one offense versus number one defense, and just let them kill each other on the floor. Like, it would have been great. But I don't think that's possible, because I don't think, even if the Magic... win this series, I don't think the Pacers and the Magic advance to the finals or the conference finals.
I'm actually not sure on the Knicks.
Why is that?
Because I think the Knicks match up well when you have one like really, really good player that needs to score. Like, I think the Knicks match up well with, like, the Celtics in a way, the Cavs in a way. I think the Pacers and the Magic are the bad matchups for the Knicks.
That's fair. I don't know what the Pacers do to stop Brunson. Like, Andrew Nembhard played...
the problem.
Andrew Nembhard played fantastic defense, and Ben Shepherd played fantastic defense in this last series, and TJ McConnell, that's like his MO. But I just don't know how you stop Jalen Brunson or even limit him.
Right.
Because I think there's a conversation to be had, which is Jalen Brunson is a what player in the NBA? I think you could argue at this point he's top 15. You might be able to argue he's top 10, but he's probably like closer to that like 11 through 13 range. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just because he hasn't won anything yet, right? Like, I think that to get higher, you have to be like in contention. Like, you have to be getting legitimate votes for MVP, if not winning it, or Defensive Player of the Year, or win a like go on a finals run, even if you don't win it. Like, I think you have to be making some noise, and we haven't seen that yet from Jalen Brunson, even though we know he's got the talent to be there. I just think that until he gets some of those awards, it's going to be easier to slot him just outside of that top 10. But I think very soon we're going to be talking about him in that top 10. And the question is, how do you stop him? And I don't think you do. I think it comes down to, how do you stop everyone else? How do you make Jalen Brunson beat you? Because Jalen Brunson can go get you 40, but when was the last time scoring 40 won you a basketball game? Like, 40 doesn't get you there. You got to score a lot more than 40, and that's why you need your team. And I think that's, when you have a team like this, Julius Randle's out, OG Anunoby's nice, Josh Hart is an enigma. Sometimes he looks like the best player in the NBA. Sometimes he looks invisible.
Yeah, for sure.
But you have to force those other players to beat you. OG Anunoby more scares me from a defensive side of the ball, because he can guard pretty much anyone on the Pacers not named Miles Turner, and I think he actually does. I think if he were guarding Miles Turner, he would do very well guarding him. So whoever is having a good night for the Pacers, they're going to be facing Anunoby at some point. I just think that the top six, top seven, top eight maybe of the New York Knicks is better than the Pacers. I do like the Pacers' shot if Tyrese finds a shot, or like all the gears are clicking, like in that last game against the Bucks. Like, TJ McConnell goes out and scores 20, you're winning that game.
Yeah, you need two players going off.
Yeah.
To beat the Knicks. That's,
I just don't know how you limit Brunson. And maybe it's a combination of those three players, Nembhard, McConnell, and Shepherd, just rotating on him constantly throughout the night. And then you just hope someone else doesn't go off, and that's how you beat the Knicks as the Pacers. But I still don't see it. I'm picking the Pacers to win the series in six. Full disclosure. But that's because I'm a Pacers fan and I'm not betting against the Pacers. I won't do it. Like, could be the Celtics, Pacers in six. Like, refuse to bet against them.
That's fair. That's more than fair.
The other series, we won't talk about potential series, but we'll talk about Timberwolves Nuggets. So you brought it up earlier. You already brought this series up and how you think the Timberwolves are going to get rolled, right?
Yes, 100%.
Strongly disagree. And the reason is, I truly believe Anthony Edwards. Prior to this season, I wouldn't have thought this, but I was proven wrong this year. Anthony Edwards is the next face of the NBA. He is the new LeBron. That's a hot take for you.
He is the new LeBron, huh?
He's unstoppable. Hmm.
Yeah, he is really good.
So as long as you have Anthony Edwards, I think you've got a chance to win any game against any team in the playoffs remaining. Doesn't matter if it's the Nuggets, doesn't matter if it's the Celtics, doesn't matter if it's the Thunder, Pacers, Knicks, Magic, Cavs. It doesn't matter. As long as you have Anthony Edwards, you have a shot to win that game, and that's before you factor in Karl-Anthony Towns is a hell of a player. Rudy Gobert, love him or hate him, he's a good player. Naz Reid, Sixth Man of the Year, hell of a player. Who else is on this team?
And that's the problem.
No. That's just because I've been, like, powerbombing beers since we got in here. Jaden McDaniels, Monte Morris, Mike Conley, Luke Garza, Kyle Anderson is a good team. TJ Warren, Bubble Warren. Remember Bubble Warren? He could come back in the playoffs. And Nikhil Alexander-Walker. It's a solid team top to bottom, regardless. So, do I think the Nuggets are winning the series? Yes, because they're my prediction to win the NBA championship. So, obviously, I'm predicting them to win the series. I just don't think it's going to be a steamroll like you do. because I think that if you have Anthony Edwards, you got a shot. And you've got a lot of options around Anthony Edwards. Agree, disagree? Well, that was a noise. I think Angelo just lost power. Hey guys, if you like what we do here, go ahead and follow us on all socials at No Reserves. Follow us on all the platforms that you could possibly listen to a podcast on. Leave a review. Ring that little notification bell.
I guess
think he's back.
I guess the cat decided to turn off the Discord. Sorry.
I was just doing the plug. So.
Oh, perfect. Okay, we're good. Anyway, well, so what was the question before the cat turned off everything?
I don't know when the cat turned everything off. So
you were asking the question about the Timberwolves getting rolled, and you were saying how deep they are.
Right. So for me, I'm picking the Nuggets because I picked the Nuggets to win the NBA Finals. Obviously, I'm picking them. But at any point in time, if you've got Anthony Edwards and you've got all those weapons around Anthony Edwards, you've got a shot. So I don't think they're getting rolled, even though I'm predicting the Nuggets to win this series and eventually win the NBA Finals. I could see this being 6-7.
And I could see this easily being 4-5.
Ew. I think the Timberwolves are too good to be beat that badly. I think they're losing this series. I'm not saying they're not. I'm just saying I think they're too good to lose in a sweep.
If you think Anthony Edwards is this good, because we just saw you just saw LeBron and the Lakers have double-digit leads on this Nuggets team at halftime. If you think that the Timberwolves are that good, you should be predicting them to win the series then. The Nuggets just had the worst 5-game sweep I think I've ever seen.
Well, to be fair, how much of that was because the Nuggets were playing bad and Jokic just didn't care because he knew he was winning the series? He looked very lackadaisical out there, and it was a choice. Like, it was very obvious he was not fully invested in that series because he didn't see a point. He is the most interesting player in any sport I think I've ever watched. Man, this is a paycheck to him. It is a job. He does not love basketball. He is here to get paid, and that's it. So.
That's another reason why I think this might just be a roll.
You think he's actually going to put his, like, try-hard pants on against Gobert?
Yeah.
That's fair. I could see that, but I don't know. I have a really hard time saying it's going to be a sweep. I have a hard time saying, like, 5-6 would be the lowest I'd go. Like, I think the Timberwolves are too good for that.
Yeah, maybe they are. But there's just something about this Nuggets team that just feels oppressive.
Yeah, and I mean, if we were to fast forward a month and a half from now and you were to tell me that the Nuggets didn't lose a single game in the playoffs, I would believe it. I wouldn't even have to like there wouldn't even be a oh really moment. It would just be yeah, okay, cool. Expected. But at the same time, like I think this Timberwolves team is good enough to at least take a couple games.
Listen, Anthony Edwards is great. Okay. He took the next leap. I acknowledge that. I'm not denying it. But even LeBron, like when he got those first playoff experiences, it wasn't the same. And I don't think because Anthony Edwards disappointed last year in the playoffs. Let's just flat out say it. He disappointed. This year, he has taken the next leap. But I don't think in just that 1-year gap you can suddenly just figure out how to beat the pseudo dynasty Nuggets. I gotta see it. That's the thing. I gotta see it to believe it. I don't think that's happening.
I guess time will tell. We'll know for sure here in a week or so, but I just, like I said, if you told me they didn't lose a game, the Nuggets, I'd believe it. I just, if you
here's
told
a,
me...
That... I know we're not going to speculate on, like, the Thunder series, but here's a better question, and maybe this is even worse because it's looking further ahead. Do you think anyone in that Thunder series potentially can beat the Nuggets or the Timberwolves? No. Let's go back to the original question.
No. I think that the... Hold on, let me pull it back up.
Because the teams would be the Clippers, the Mavericks, and, of course, the Thunder. Those are the three teams that could face the Nuggets or the Timberwolves in the conference finals. Right now. Go. Where is it? It won't be like that when this thing launches.
So the only team that just on, like, at a glance, I think the Celtics are the obvious answer.
What, in the East?
Yeah.
Yeah, I generally agree with that, but like I said, but with the Bucks out, I think the East is a lot more interesting because just based on the Celtics' like recent history, if you told me that the Cavs beat the Celtics, I would believe you.
Yeah. If you told me any of the four teams remaining in the East that are not the Celtics made the finals,
yeah,
it wouldn't surprise me. Just because, like, the Celtics are that good, but, like, they're the Celtics, man. Come on, like, playoff choking is a meme at this point for the Celtics. Like, there was the bags of chips with Jason Tatum on them last year, and everyone was posting pictures. Oh, choking hazard. Like, so anyone in the East would be a fair, because actually looking at the teams, like the Knicks, Pacers, Magic, and Cavs all do match up pretty well against the Nuggets. Would they beat them? No, hell no. Hell no. But they match up well against it and would make an interesting series.
Honestly, I would really like to see the winner of the Cavs-Magic series against the Nuggets in the finals. I think if a team has a shot, I think those teams have the shot to at least limit Yoke. If you want to match the offensive firepower, I think the Pacers.
I think but, the Cavs have the best shot just because I think the Cavs and Pacers would be the best matchups for them because the Cavs have
one has the offense, one has the defense.
Well, and Cavs have access to Evan Mobley, and the Pacers have access to Miles Turner. Yep. Neither of them is stopping Jokic, but
they're your best chance
because they both can guard. They're both bigs that can guard the perimeter and inside. And
if Jared Allen's back, you can mix up your matchup so that Mobley takes him a few possessions, Allen. So you have a fresh defender.
If you got both, you double him.
That's true. That's fair.
Thunder, they are still way too young.
I would be really surprised if we're talking about the Thunder making it to the NBA finals.
I would be surprised if they got past the second round.
I agree with that. I completely agree with that.
Because I think the Clippers and Mavericks are both more experienced, and I think they're both better. I think the Clippers are the better team, top to bottom. I think the Mavericks have the better players, because I think Kyrie Irving and Luka Doncic are better than anyone on the Clippers or the Thunder right now.
The Mavericks are kind of the enigma team, because, like, ironically, I think the Mavericks... If you told me that the Nuggets got beat in the second round, I think the Mavericks would be the team I think would do it out of the three. Because you could have Luka going off, you could have Kyrie. Is Lively back? If I'm not mistaken, Lively is back.
I think Lively's back.
Yeah. So you could have Luka and or Kyrie going off. You could have Lively to help with the interior. I think that would be the best option.
Out of the West?
Of the three teams. No, of the three teams.
Oh, of the Clippers, Mavs, and Thunder. All right, that was the original question. I went on a tangent about the East versus the Nuggets.
Yeah,
I'm just assuming the Nuggets are making it to the finals. Of the three teams, I agree, because the Clippers just don't have an answer for Jokic. They have an answer for everything else. They do not have an answer for Jokic.
Yep, and that's the problem.
the Thunder are would be my second choice behind the Mavericks because they do have Chet, but like it might look like a crime scene when Jokic is done with him because he's a twig.
And oddly enough, I think the Clippers would be the worst matchup for the Thunder, just overall.
Yeah, because again, you don't have an answer for Chet.
Yeah.
And you really don't.
But you do have an answer for everything else, and that's kind of.
Do you though?
You kind of do.
What's your answer for Shea?
You hope and pray.
Okay, but that's not any team.
You can throw bodies at them, but that's kind of the thing. Like, if Kawhi is there, the Clippers have Kawhi. They have Russ. They have PG. They have James Harden. That's kind of that. That's your little mini cheat code. Any of those players, if you told me, gave you 20 points in a night, I'd believe you.
Yeah, absolutely. The Russ would be more surprising at this point, but the other that's three, fair. Absolutely.
Yeah.
For me, it doesn't matter because I think the Nuggets are going to win it all. So it's hard for me to say who the best matchup is. I think the Mavericks are the best of the remaining teams in the West, and I think that either the Cavs or the Pacers. Really, I think you have to have a defensive big.
Yeah, for sure.
Because everyone remaining has someone that can guard the wing. Like, they have someone that they can put on Jamal Murray, right? They're not going to stop Jamal Murray, but you aren't stopping Jokic. You just are trying to limit their damage and then hope that you shoot 60% and they shoot 40%. Like, that's your hope. That is the objective. And there's only, I mean, those are the only two teams left that really have both. I mean, the Timberwolves, but.
And here's another thing to like think about on the 3-2 team, on the 3-2s. The Cavs kind of have to win this series because if they don't, I don't think Donovan is staying.
Oh no, I fully agree with that. I think that this is make or break for the Cavs. I think that you've got a couple years under the belt of this roster makeup. Like yep. At this point, like if it hasn't clicked, something's got to give.
Yep, 100%. And I think on the other side of Mavericks Clippers, the Clippers have to make it past this round more than the Mavericks on the simple fact that this Clippers team isn't going to be here next year.
Yeah, for sure. And they've got a lot more to lose just from each individual player because Kyrie's already got a ring. Luka at some point in his career will win a ring. Like he's too good not to.
I agree that he's too good not to, but if the Nuggets stay the Nuggets, he might get Steve Nash.
So but here's my thing. Here's my thing. Let's fast forward. It's 2027, okay?
Yeah.
27. Luka's 25, 26, whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
And not even in his prime yet, right?
Yep.
It's a no reserves episode, all right? In other news,
as there will be,
Jokic just decided to quit and go raise horses. He no longer plays basketball. Are you surprised?
No, I'm not surprised.
No. Man could just fall off the side of the earth and no one would know. And, like, we would, like, there would be, like, news reports of the Nuggets are trying to track down Jokic. And, like, you see, like, grainy footage of him in the freaking wilderness just building a off-the-grid hut. And, like, you're like, okay, yep, this is normal. This is, like, I accept this. There's nothing surprising here. So I don't think that it's that far-fetched to say that I don't think the Nuggets will be. I'm not going to say they're not a dynasty because they kind of already are. But, like, a long-term thing. Because eventually contracts are going to happen. You're going to have to pay people out. And, you know, God forbid injuries or a player just deciding to go live in the wilderness. Like, that's. That's life. But I think Luka is too good. Like, I'm not. Luka's got a solid, probably 12 years left of his career, minimum. He's winning, Ron. He has to. He's too good. I don't know. You got anything else?
No. Actually, that was pretty good.
I flipped through my notes, and there's, like, a few things we didn't talk about, but, like, it's, like, minor details. Like, the Lakers dismissed Darvin Ham. Like, shocker. Should have happened a long time ago. Kendrick Perkins says, or Stephen A. Smith says, to make Tyrese Maxey the face of the franchise. I agree with that. Patrick Beverley apologized to what's her name, Melinda Adams. Nick Wright said, Patrick Beverley is a clown. He's always been a clown. He'll always be a clown. Apparently, when Darvin Ham got fired, it was on a phone call. that hurts. In the Knicks 76ers series, the final score for the series, right? So all six games, do you want to know what the point differential was?
Which series?
The Knicks 76ers.
Go ahead.
1 point. The Knicks in the whole series scored 650. The 76ers scored 649.
Jesus, dude.
Jack Maloney, who's apparently a CBS reporter, says that this is unfortunately nothing new. Patrick Beverley has refused to talk to any of us in Milwaukee who do not subscribe to his podcast since he has arrived at the trade deadline.
This is so fucking stupid, dude. This is like him subscribe to a new level. Like, when you get to the point where you're restricting access because of subscriptions, then you've gone too far. You're too far gone, Pat. You're too far gone.
Interestingly, I forgot about these. So during the TNT broadcast, like, love or hate Indiana, you've gotta, like, the fans are freaking hilarious. So during free throws, Bobby Portis was shooting a free throw. A fan yelled, "Portis, your eyes are slightly too big for your head." When Damian Lillard was shooting free throws, someone yelled, "Lillard, your tattoos are only decent." And this is the kind of trash talk we do in Indiana, and apparently it works.
Pretty good.
Giannis says he wasn't ever close to returning.
Yeah, that's just to make him feel better.
Free throw attempts in the playoffs. Heat got 60. The Pelicans got 64. The Thunder have had 70. Joel Embiid has had 78 by himself. Okay, so Charles Barkley says Jalen Brunson is one of the best free agent signings of all time.
Yeah. He's up there.
I don't necessarily agree with Charles Barkley on a lot of things, but yeah, that's, like I said, we could be arguing he's a top five player in the league next year. So Ty Lue is getting a contract extension before the playoffs end with the Clippers. That's interesting.
That's bold strategy there, Cotton. See if it works out for him.
So Milwaukee does not have its own first round pick until 2031, or does not control its own first round pick until 2031.
Who doesn't?
The Bucks.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Oof.
In the fourth quarter, Joel Embiid shot 23.1% from the field, 11.1% from three. It's embarrassing. Kyrie says he considered reuniting with LeBron James last season, but he said he suggested asking the GMs why it didn't work out. That would be an interesting storyline to see Kyrie and LeBron as teammates again.
Yeah, it'd be, there would be so many reports.
And that's all of my notes. So, hey, that's it. You got anything else?
I got nothing else.
Hey guys, I already told you to do all the things earlier.
Yeah, you did so good.
You'll have more of Angelo if you so wish on Thursday. It's the football.
Not if you so wish. You want it. You want.
What's going on the football pod this week?
Well, we just got done doing a mock of a rookie draft. We reviewed the rookies, and honestly, we might start transitioning into talking about like rosters, what we expect from teams, and just the coming season in general. I think that there's an interesting discussion to be had on the Chargers in particular, because I have a few interesting takes on the Chargers, but yeah, just transitioning to focus on this. That's weird to freaking say in May, but
it really is, but like it's how sports go. Like the draft or free agency happens depending on the sport. Some one happens
they both
the
happen
other.
Yeah, they're both done,
and then once you get through that and you're just into like the dog days of your sport summer, whichever that may be, like in like it's just an interesting time to kind of churn out content. I think we learned that the hard way last year.
Oh, for sure.
Where we were just throwing stuff against the wall until like we came up with an idea and then we ran with it. Cause you know, after a certain point, there's nothing to talk about in the summer.
I think eventually, fuck it. The episode's gone this long anyway. Matt, what's another 5-10 minutes? Yeah, sure, I think absolutely. I think eventually we might want to tinker with like staggering, like actually taking breaks from the basketball. And then the football goes, and the football takes a break, and the basketball goes. Like eventually, way down. That's way down the line.
I don't think that's a bad idea, but I think I would still like. I'm kind of addicted to putting out content at this point, so like I still would want to do something, but maybe not. Like just take it. Like,
well, listen, all the shit I do on the background, I'm taking a fucking break, dude. Goddamn.
I'm just saying, like, well, hopefully by that point we'll like be raking in dough and we'll just have an editor and like you just have to show up for recording.
That'd be cool. That would be nice. That means I'd get to do what you do.
Yeah, except I have a lot like going on.
I still think this just based on the last 4 months, this would never happen. I still think there's money to be made in a Ren and Austin show.
So the problem is, I want you to go pull
availability.
Up. No, it's not just availability. It's not just availability. It is not just availability.
It's not. Totally
I
not.
Want you. So go pull up like the last like 5 episodes that Austin's been in. Okay.
Okay.
Because you have these, and pull up each of
like
our
right
mics.
Now?
No, I mean you can do it right now. Pull up each of our mics and like how much each of us talks, and compare him to you and I. Austin is here to be the third guy. He's not like, and that's what he told us when he came on board when Adam left. Was he was just here to be that third voice.
He will not be named.
Oh yeah, like we deleted all those episodes. So like,
yeah, I did. I deleted them super fast.
If you haven't been listening to us since the beginning, you have no idea what we're talking about.
You have no idea what we're doing.
Prior to Austin, there was a different Austin. Same problems though, because he just stopped showing up and apparently there's only one A name allowed on the show at any given. No, because Alex is here, never mind. There's only two A names allowed on the show at any given time. Because once you brought Alex on board for the football pod was when Austin started having availability issues.
Honestly, I think at this point, I think we should just bring Adam back. And then whichever one shows up that week shows up that week. I think between Austin and Adam, you might have one serviceable person.
We tried to bring Adam back for the 1 year special.
He wanted to. He still wants to.
You told him and he was like, I'm good. Y'all.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah,
literally. Cause I was like on board with it and then he just didn't do it. He didn't show up. He was awake and everything. Adam doesn't sleep during the night. He sleeps during the day. So like, no, he sleeps like 20 hours and then he stays up for 20 hours. It's weird. He has a weird sleep schedule. Don't ask about it. Cause you were trying to bring him on and it didn't work out, but maybe someday. What was I saying? So, I think it's not a terrible idea, like, over the summer, but I don't think...
The fuck? Fuck
for those
you.
Of wondering...
Fuck you, motherfucker! Fuck you! Fuck you! Fuck you! You damn measly mouth bitch! You goddamn, like, show up at the last... We're doing the outro! Austin, we're doing the outro!
We're still rambling. We started the outro and then we got distracted. Anyway, everybody, Austin's here.
You can't say I wasn't here.
Fuck you. Austin.
What?
Jesus Christ, that was hilarious. We were literally just shit talking you. Literally just shit talking you.
What's up?
No, we were just shit talking you.
Yeah, we were just shit talking you. Oh. Hold on, I need to. Might as well stop putting stop in there.
Yeah, no. Now we're going. Now we're rolling. This is gonna be a long episode. This is gonna be a long fucking episode.
So
I think.
Hold on, I'm gonna exit and come back in real quick.
Okay.
I think the cat messed something up.
Okay. Austin, how are you? Welcome to the podcast.
Yeah, for real. It's I don't know. I wasn't expecting to get yelled at as soon as I got in here.
It was only because we were literally shit talking you and Adam at the same time because Angelo,
I said between you two, you might make one serviceable person.
He said we should just put you and Adam both on the docket. And then whichever one of you shows up and then you popped in
Adam to come back.
No. Veto. So I do think as we get further along with this, okay. I do think an argument can be made because we're now, Austin, what we're doing is we're discussing like podcast logistics for the future. Mm-hmm. I think as we get into this and as we get into off seasons, last year it was an anomaly because we didn't really know what the fuck we were doing. We were still learning. It was year one. And we were talking about the fact that like week to week, like after free agency and the draft and like, the Ides of Summer, like news slowed down and we were like throwing shit at the board trying to get something to work.
Yeah.
So I do think that Angelo and I were talking like there is a world where during the off season of the sports, whether that's football, basketball or whatever future endeavors we breach, it might be worthwhile to go to the one episode every other week or whatever model for that sport. I don't necessarily think that means no content. I think that just means no content relative to that. I think that's where we get into more experimental shit. And seeing what sticks, but not necessarily in a like negative way. Like, oh, we're going to do a random ass baseball podcast and see how people like it. Or, oh, let's do a book review, even though I would probably be the only one to read it. And that's just like the thoughts, like TV shows, movies, music, whatever. And just seeing how it kind of reacts and then doing those here and there as like one-offs and just kind of filling the gap in between episodes. Because once you get into the off season of any sport, nothing happens.
Yeah.
It's
pretty much. And that's where like, me and Alex are about to be at.
Yeah, and that's what started this conversation, because, like, in the outro, I said, what's coming up on the football podcast? He's like, I don't fucking know.
Now, to be fair, I made it sounded like I knew.
Yeah, but I know you, and I know that's what you were actually saying was, I don't fucking know. So I think as we get into those off seasons, I think there's definitely going to be some more experimental things just to kind of kind of try some shit out, because
Austin Wren show, you're going to hop onto No Reserves Radio and you're not going to hear Angela. It's going to be fucking weird. It's okay.
Yeah. It's going to have to happen in July.
It's going to be peaceful as hell because it's just going to be Wren.
It talking. Will.
Yeah. So that, there's the wrench in your plan.
Yeah.
Until then, you're just going to have Wren, Alex, and Angelo, and Austin showing up at the end of the episode.
Yep.
So wait, does that mean you and Wren are going to do an episode without me in July?
We'll try it. We'll try it.
Yeah, nice.
We'll try it. See how it goes. You're still editing it, though.
Because when I go down there, I'm going to bring my laptop so I can get the thing and then put the thing up still, but...
You're still editing it.
Wait,
yeah. So we are doing... And a little behind the curtains, we're doing a little No Reserves gathering here in June.
Yep,
I guess so.
Could we like try to record one, like in person? See how it goes.
He's just gonna forgo like Kings Island altogether and just.
No! I'm saying like in on top of that, like just doing it. I guess seeing how it goes. It'll be great. Where? It would be great to be able to throw something. I don't know. The point is, it would be great to be able to throw something at you when you say
something stupid.
You know
what, though? Alexis, if we did Kings Island, Alexis did talk about getting a room. We could just get a stupid big room.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Like a suite?
Cause yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And just...
That might work. That might work.
All right, we'll discuss it. We'll discuss it. Everyone bring your mics to Kings Island.
Oh yeah, that's a great idea. That's a great fucking
not
idea.
Actually leave them in the fucking car. I'm not saying like go on the roller coaster holding your mic up for no goddamn reason.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No reserves fired from Kings Island.
There you go.
That'd be fun. It could be interesting. We'll see. It could also just end with me dumping a beer on you at some point. Like, I don't know. We'll see. Well, Austin, you got anything else to add to the show today?
I just want it known. Angelo has been bitching on my picks, but we're tied right now for wins.
When?
It was when? In the worry meter.
Run.
The worryometer.
I will have to go listen to it. I will say that episode opened... Share with Austin how our episode opened, Angelo.
What do you think I've been trying to do for the last half hour?
Okay, do it. Do it.
It doesn't work. So, that's what I'm just trying to fix.
Oh, that's why you left? So he added to the soundboard. And basically what I... The way the episode started was, you know, welcome to No Reserves Radio. I'm your host, Ren. With me, as always, Angelo. I'm not even going to say the rest of it because you know Austin's not here. That was how the episode opened, right?
Yep.
And then there's a soundboard of you that's now on Angelo's hotkeys that says, what does it say? I don't need to be attacked truthfully or something like that.
One of them. That's one of them. Yeah.
And that was like the first thing that happened on the podcast.
Yeah, I figured.
Hold on.
What I've learned is I've got to be careful about what I say on here because Angelo will soundboard it.
God fucking damn, you're right, I will.
Yeah,
none of y'all are safe.
Soundboard works, though.
When it works. Sometimes the cat fucks his plans up.
Hold on. One second, I'm going to try something else.
Middle of the episode, he dipped. Like, he just dropped out while I was in the middle of a sentence, and I just had to sit here and ramble by myself for, like, a solid 30 seconds. Like, killing time. Oh, no, I don't. Fuck you, I'm telling Austin.
Fucking Miss Daisy.
It's like, if you're still listening to us at this point when it's evident that nothing like is happening and we are just bullshitting, thank you from the bottom of my heart. Thank you. I do have
no heart, motherfucker.
You need to pick a better thing to do with your time. Absolutely.
No,
but
you don't.
Like,
don't listen to Ren.
No, but like, I appreciate the help. At least I do. I don't know about these two dinguses, but I appreciate it. This is how you're choosing to spend your time. Are you done yet, Angela? Not Austin. Are you trying to get the soundboard to work still?
Yes, I'll figure it out next week.
I will say you did. You said you were leaving and coming back, and you never did leave.
No, I did. I never left the thing.
You never left. No.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay, that might have something to do with it.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't know how your soundboard works. I don't want to know. That's like a you thing, and you do you things.
I do me things, indeed. Well,
do you guys Austin got anything else? Because like this has been
Austin can hear it next week if he actually shows up.
Okay.
Do you guys have anything else to add?
I do not.
Fuck you, Austin.
That's
fantastic.
Anyway, Angela will see you guys on Thursday. We will see you next Sunday for sure. Maybe sooner. Who knows? Depends on if something exciting happens in the playoffs. If you hit the little notification bell, you will get a notification if we release something early. But that's about all I got. Have a great week, guys.
Bye.